Hey there, everybody. My name is Ian Levenstein. Ooh, it's been a while since I've used that one. Since the Geek Speak days, I think. And welcome to what I'm calling a comic timing extra point. Yeah, I'm really creative with that one, right? But these are ones that I figure will just be, you know, a few minutes here and there to fill the time in between episodes, because as you all know, we are lazy soul bitches and don't get episodes out nearly as fast as we should. And these ones are going to have minimal to no editing, and it's usually just going to be me talking. I figure if Brent can do his BK's bullets, I can do my side shows too. And today is March 6th, if I looked at the calendar correctly. And I'm sitting here and I'm a little bored, and I figure why not just pop up the microphone and do it. And I'll admit, I am a little inspired by Mr. Peter Rios and his Rios Report. Because I remember when I used to do this on a regular basis. It used to just be me talking and rambling and geeking and speaking and so on and so forth. And it's been a while, so why not bring it back a little bit? And today, I believe the conversation is going to be about conventions this time around. I know I've talked about them in depth on other episodes of CT and elsewhere, but it's just about convention season for me now. Emerald City Comic Con just happened. I went to it once back when I was living in Seattle for that very short time, or outside of Seattle, you know, Bellevue, yada, yada, yada. And I really enjoyed myself there. And one of the things that Emerald City had going for it is that it was kind of the perfect combination of a fan convention and a professional convention. Like, you had your guests, you had your panels, you had some fan panels thrown in there too, and you just had a good community feel to it. And I feel like that is the perfect blend that a convention needs to hit. And I kind of feel like some conventions are falling away from that a little bit, like New York Comic Con, for example. Like, this past year, a lot of fan panels were turned down in favor of industry stuff. Now, mind you, I know they're going to have to do that, because how else are they going to make money? Because, of course, you know, the big draws are going to be guys like Marvel and DC, and even Dark Horse or Image or some of the manga guys. And sure, I understand that, but fans like having a voice too, other than hearing themselves talk on a microphone every now and then. And a good way to do that is to get a panel at a convention. You know, if you know what you're talking about, if you have what you think will be able to carry a good hour at a convention, and you think that you have enough material and potential to carry an audience, then go ahead and do that. And at this last year's New York Comic Con, a lot of the folks that I know that would do things like that, our podcasting panel, for example, I know that Anime Parliament and a lot of the other anime guys were turned down this last time around in favor of some of the industry stuff. And, you know, all well and good, but I like to see a good balance between the two. Because you know what? We live in an internet age. Like, just about all of this information that comes out at conventions, it's easier to look up once you're done being at the convention itself. I mean, you know, you go to Newsarama, you go to Bleeding Cool, you go to CBR, you get all your comic news, and it's all in one basket right there. You don't have to wait online for an hour waiting for the panel, the Marvel panel or whatever. It's just going to, you know, get all your information when you get home. And I think life's a lot easier that way. I mean, sure, there is a little bit of a "this is happening right now" thing when you're at the Marvel panel, but you don't really need that all the time. Like, I'll go to maybe two or three at a convention and I'll feel like I'm successful, but there's stuff like when I was at New York Comic Con this last year, I went to the, you know, Law in Superheroes panel, and that one's closer to what I'm talking about. Like, sure, these are, you know, professionals who have actually put out a book or whatever, but it started out as a website and a blog and, you know, lesser knowns that still managed to fill a nice space. And they let everybody know a little bit more about what they did and carried themselves for a good hour, and I enjoyed it a lot. And I feel like we need just to stay on that path a little bit, you know, get more of the fan panels going. I mean, I do panels at Anime Next. And anime cons are different than Comic Cons, not just in the age of the participants, because you know, I mean, younger kids are usually going to wind up at anime conventions before they wind up at comic conventions, because just like we've talked about on previous episodes of the show, it's the sort of thing where like you age out of one and you wind up at the other, because anime cons are as much culture cons as comic cons are, but you're going to tend to find teenagers and kids in their 20s at anime conventions. But the type of panels that you get, and yes, this is because the anime scene has less professionals that you can go to, unless you're talking voice actors or companies that make anime or manga, you get a lot more of the stuff like, you know, anime trivia or anime parliament or what I do, you know, American Animation, Adult Swim Revolution, panels about conventions themselves. You get a lot more of that at a smaller anime convention than you would at a comic convention. And I feel like there is still a space for that at comic conventions. So try and get that balance a little bit. I hope I'm not rambling right now. I probably am, because this is the first time I've done this, so bear with me a little bit here. When I look back on how I started going to conventions and where I am now as a fan, a lot has changed, and I mean a lot, because, well, I'm a year away from 30 now. I mean, when I first turned on a microphone, when I started doing podcasts, I mean, dear Lord, I was like 22, I mean, 21, 22 years old, and then I had really only been to, actually, I hadn't been to a comic convention yet, now that I think about it. I mean, I didn't actually go to a convention until 04, and that was Anime Boston, and that was my first one. And the first Comic-Con I went to was New York Comic-Con in 06. And when I went to Boston, when I went to New York, my mindset was, I'm going to buy stuff. You know, like, this is going to be the place I go to where I can get my cheap-ass comics and my cheap-ass trades, my cheap-ass anime DVDs. And now that's not really what I do that much because, well, I have enough comics and DVDs to begin with, and I can get DVDs on Amazon for a lot cheaper than I can get them at conventions. Don't really buy that many toys anymore because I don't have room for them. You know, what I'll do these days is I'll go there to hang out with friends and I'll buy some art maybe, and, you know, maybe a few trades here or there in the 50% off bin, but that's about it. I don't really buy too many single issues like I used to at other conventions. And I will go to panels that catch my eye. And I just want more panels to catch my eye. You get what I'm saying here? Like, I want more panels that are, I guess, not the standard shit. Like, I don't need news. I want to see a creator spotlight. I want to see a bunch of fans getting together and talking about the best and worst issues that they've read. You know, I want to see embarrassing moments in comic book history. You know, stuff like that. That would be sweet. And I would go to that. I would take time out of my schedule to do that, because I'm already thinking I might not have a table at New York Comic Con, because as you fine folks who listen to this know, I haven't even put out my frickin' interviews from New York Comic Con, and three-quarters of them are probably out of date because they were all about goddamn Kickstarter, which is, you know, totally on me, but it was a lesson learned this year that it might be time for me to maybe step away from getting a table and maybe just be a fan again at New York Comic Con. Because other than the first year I went in 06, where, yes, I did do roaming reporting and got some interviews, but I didn't have a table, and I just wandered around the convention. I kind of missed that a little bit. So maybe this is the year. Maybe this is the year that I'll take a break from Podcast Arena and just be a fan. And then maybe even my habits will change a little bit. Maybe I'll go to different panels, and maybe I'll be able to tell you next year what you guys should check out. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. My convention schedule for this year looks pretty much the same. Anime Next, I'm actually only going to be at for 2 days this year instead of three. Because it's kind of less and less appealing for me. Like, Otakon is the only con that I will go to for hell even more than the 3 days that's an anime convention, because I've got a lot of friends to go to it, and it's a very good atmosphere. You know, there's always something to do at Otakon. I don't really feel that way about Anime Next nearly as much anymore. Like, I like doing the panels, and I like the people like that I do the panels there, but, you know, since I don't buy anymore, and I don't really watch nearly as much anime as I did, say, when I started going to Anime Next, there's less of a reason for me to go for the full weekend. So we're going to do Saturday and Sunday. And we're going to hopefully have three panels again. We're going to do American Animation. We're going to do Adult Swim Revolution. And we're going to do the American Comics for Manga Fans that we did last year, because that went over really well with the crowd. I'm hoping that it'll go over just about as well this time around. We're going to do Otakon. We're doing PAX East in 2 weeks, actually. I'm going to bring the mic with me and maybe talk a little bit about PAX East while we're there. Maybe do one of these things, this comic timing extra point that I'm recording right here. But we'll see about that. And, of course, Super Show. And I make a pledge to you right now that 2 years ago's interviews... Oh, God, why do I have to say that? 2 years ago's interviews from Super Show will be out really soon. In fact, chances are I'll probably even go back to editing it once I'm done talking here and get that out for you folks. But no, it's going to be pretty cool to be back at Super Show. A lot of folks I haven't seen. And you want to talk about a community con, that's exactly what Super Show is. I would also love to go to a community con. You know, maybe meet Dan Harmon and Joel McHale. Now I am rambling. Let's see, what else am I going to this year? New York Comic Con, obviously, in one form or another, and that's about it. C2E2 happens way too close to PAX East. I can't actually spend the money on it and take time off from work to do something like that. Might try and hit something on the West Coast this year, but that's TBD. All depends on whether I take vacations, actual real vacations, elsewhere. Because, you know, money's spent there. I'm old enough now where I should really start taking conventions vacations that don't revolve around conventions. You know, go overseas or go to other parts of the country that I haven't been to before and not actually spend three quarters of it at a convention space. That would be swimming. That would be lovely. I mean, it was nice to hit Orlando earlier this year, and yeah, I got to see Brian for a little bit, which was pretty cool. But that was just a vacation, you know, me, my girlfriend, and my mom, checking out Disney and all that shebang. Yeah, that about covers it. I'm looking at 13 minutes here, and I can't really think of anything else to talk about except for, oh, you know what, I'll mention something actually comic-related, straight-up comic-related as opposed to conventions. I'm now caught up on Ultimate Spider-Man, at least, you know, what I have in my hands right now, because I haven't actually gotten my latest comic book shipment yet, because it's actually at my mom's, which I will probably be getting tomorrow, but I have now read up to issue 19, and it's, you know, Ultimate Comics Spider-Man / Ultimate Spider-Man / whatever else you want to call it, is still the most consistent book that I read, like, consistent quality-wise. I think I can maybe count on one hand the amount of issues of Ultimate Spider-Man that I have not liked since I started reading it. I've been reading it since number one. I have a freaking CGC-graded copy of Ultimate Spider-Man number one. You know, one of three CGC-graded books that I've ever gotten, because, you know, when I was young, I actually thought that was something that you should do. And, yeah, I don't really care about that nearly as much anymore. But I have read every issue of Ultimate Spider-Man. I even have the Ultimate Team-Up that Spider-Man was always in for about, what'd that go for, about 25 issues, something like that, where, you know, completely different versions of Iron Man and Fantastic Four than we wound up getting later on, but, you know, consistency, and comic books don't always get along very well. But no, these last couple of issues, especially with Miles, have been very good. I incredibly enjoyed the interaction between Jessica Drew and Miles, and I hope that Jessica comes clean to Miles as to what exactly her history is soon, because it almost comes off as a little creepy how protective she is of Miles, and we know why. I mean, spoilers to anybody who hasn't been reading Ultimate Spider-Man, but Jessica Drew / Spider-Woman in the Ultimate Universe is the spider clone. Like, that's our Ben Reilly this time around. Like, she is a female clone of Peter Parker. They messed around with the chromosomes, and she is now a female. So there is still technically a Peter Parker alive in the Ultimate Marvel Universe, but she's a female, and she goes by Jessica now. Oh, God. Sometimes even talking about comics, I just want to roll my eyes. It's like, I just seriously described to you a female version of, oh, whatever. But yeah, and that's why she's so protective of Miles, because, well, she was Spider-Man once, and she watched Peter die, and now she wants to make sure that Miles is always safe. But there was some really good interaction with those two, with Miles' father, and I guess I wouldn't even call it embarrassment, but no, that's not the word I'm looking for. He took on the Hydra guys, and like he's worried, I think, about becoming something that he once was in life again. And I don't think he really needs to worry nearly as much, but hopefully he'll come to that realization soon that he was protecting himself and in some ways the people of New York City from terrorist insurgent, and he did what he had to do to make sure that he got home safe, and that's the way that went down. But it sucks that the press are now going after him because of what happened. You know, thanks internet and mobile phone uploads of video. You know, that's how they found out about what happened there. And at the end of the issue, which was issue 19, we get to see Venom going after Miles' father because Betty Brant in 16.1, which was Ultimate Spider-Man, Ultimate Comics Spider-Man 16.1, thinks that he is the new Spider-Man, which it's kind of a little ridiculous when you think about it, because she's seen the new Spider-Man in profile. Like, that does not look like a 30-year-old dude. Like, that's so obviously a guy in his teens, and yet for some reason this is the patch he took. Well, it's just proves why J. Jonah didn't really want Betty in the Daily Bugle bullpen anymore, because she's not that good a reporter. She's about like a third missing out of the full three-thirds it takes to be a good reporter. Like, she doesn't actually have the... she doesn't know how to put two and two together sometimes. But Venom killed her, and I guess had her notes on who she thinks the new Spider-Man is, and now Venom's going after him. So we'll see where this goes. I'm not actually reading the entire United We Stand, so this was all I really got was the Spider-Man part of it and the internet telling me that Captain America is currently president of the United States, which is kind of weird. But I liked what I saw here, and maybe I'll eventually pick up the rest of it in trade. But for those of you who have not been reading Miles Morales Ultimate Comics Spider-Man, where are you? And just go ahead and do yourself a favor and start reading that. Okay? All right, I've been talking for about 18 minutes here, and I am definitely going to wind up rambling if I do not shut up now. So thank you all for listening. This has been a Comic Timing Extra Point. And as always, there's always time for comics. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/comictiming. That's the only information you need to know. Oh, and why not? We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network, and use the promo code CT8. On your checkout at DCBS. Booyah!